Hey, Magic fans, Dante Marcatelli here from the Orlando Magic. You're listening to the Penny for Your Thoughts podcast from the guys at Orlando Magic UK. Now it's over to Paul, Garen, and Mikey. Go Magic!
In order for the magic to work, you have to truly believe in the magic.
Hey, Magic fans, and welcome to this episode of Penny for Your Thoughts, the podcast of the Orlando Magic UK. We've got a busy old week to talk about here because I think we were kind of thinking that we're going to go into a period of time where the NBA is a little bit quiet whilst we await the fixture release. But man, there's been so much kind of happening from a Magic side of things. So with that in mind, we had originally we kind of planned it as having an opportune moment to get an expert's opinion on the Magic, on the rebuild and where we are. So we are going to be joined by Jeff Turner very shortly. But we've got a fair bit to talk about ourselves before then. Now, before we go any further, I'm going to introduce the usual suspects who are joining me, as always. Mikey, how are you doing?
Don't you worry, it's going to be all right, because Paul is always ready. I won't let you out of my sight. if you were at Orlando Magic meetup last weekend, you'd realise that Paul now has a new nickname called The Hoff.
Honestly, man. I'm going to admit that the old first responder in me may just have took over when one of our number had a moment. But I could have done without the Mickey taking of the Baywatch run up the street to come and assist. Oh, yeah. And I'd like to thank you for that, Mr. Clark.
Yeah, all you needed was some music to cue that Paul's going to be there.
As I say, but I'm going to, from now on, I'm drawing in the abs in the same way as David Hasselhoff did on on Baywatch. And Gary, how are you, man?
Well, all the better for asking me, Mr. Big and Hoff.
Raoul Hasselhoff.
Oh, yeah. All you needed was a beach because you were kicking the sand up when you were coming up there. The way you covered that imaginary sand was something else, you know.
And the hero amongst us who grabbed said person who was collapsing, G, how's things, mate?
I'm good, thank you, David. I mean, Paul. I'm very well, thank you, mate. Obviously, we had a fantastic time. I'm sure you'll talk about it in a second. Obviously, busy week back in the land of the living in Wales with work. But we're looking forward to the next one. But
good stuff.
Give you the floor, mate.
Yeah. So as has been mentioned, we've had the first Orlando Magic UK meetup. First of all, just thank you to everybody who came. It seemed as if everybody had a good time and it certainly went down well. Conversation was, I think, accurate to say, non-stop. But for everybody, we will be organising another one or two. We are going to get one organised very soon. This one was in the centre of the country. We plan to head, as I've said, on the article that's out about this one. We plan to head both north and south. We want to give everybody the opportunity to join us, come along and have some fun. We're looking probably for the next one to be around October, November. So watch this space. There will be another installment coming. But guys, did you enjoy it? You had a good time?
Yeah, cracking night, wasn't it?
Food all right for you? The recommendations okay that I came up with?
Lovely.
Brilliant. And, you know, every part of it, you know, from the just meeting up originally, you know, just a bunch of guys wearing Magic stuff and just getting on, you know. And then we got to obviously play a bit of basketball in the sunshine and showers in central Mansfield, which was really good fun. I'm surprised you didn't mention my 3-point shot that I called game on.
I wasn't there, man. I wasn't there. I knew nothing about it. And, you know, if I don't see it with my own eyes, I am not reporting on it, man. I'm not going with hearsay. But you got a couple of locals come and play as well, didn't you, mate?
They did, yeah. They just asked if we were playing, obviously, 3-on-3 at the time before a couple more joined us. And he was like, oh, any chance I can play? And we were like, yeah, of course you can. So I did have to explain to him why everybody was wearing Magic stuff. And I think we might have got another fan there.
Well, if mystery person is watching, listening, stick us a comment on because we want to say hi. And good stuff for joining in. And G, you were one of the final stalwarts out enjoying a kind of Magic, if memory serves me right.
Yeah, we decided to keep it going into the night. And after everybody else had vacated, me and a few others decided to... we were looking for a karaoke bar, in fairness, but we couldn't find one. So we found this this pub slash club, if you can call it that. And they had an 80s night going on with the DJ spinning his CDs. And
I can't believe he was still using CDs, actually putting CDs in there. That is old school.
It was something to see. And obviously, yeah, you've got to go and you know, ask for a song with Magic in the title. So yeah, we got it's a kind of Magic, and we all boogied down to that. Were you missing your shape, so Paul? Next time, mate.
I will be there flossing for you next time, man. Promise.
Good man. Good man.
Now let's get on to the
beer watch theme on.
You see, this is why I was going to move on.
I'm not moving on.
But let's talk some of the Magic news that has come out. So you kind of expect this point to be a bit of a quiet period, but there's been a couple of interesting developments. So quick run through and quick thoughts on it, guys. So first of all, Magic have acquired the unprotected swap rights to 2026 first round draft pick from Phoenix or Washington in exchange for 3 future second round draft picks. I'm not going to run into all the 2024s and 2026s and which picks they are and all that sort of thing. But Gary, what's your thoughts on the Magic backing themselves on getting better and others getting worse?
I think it's, for me, my initial thoughts weren't about backing ourselves on other teams so much as we're stockpiling. I think we're getting as many young players, assets, etc. available to give ourselves as many swings as possible, firstly, and then if a trade comes up, we've got attractive pieces to put together a trade. Because when you look at allegedly the Miami Heat are wanting Dame Lillard, and it's dragging on because they can't put together a package. And I don't blame Portland for this.
No, absolutely.
They can't put together a package that makes it worth Portland's while. And I think the Magic with the, even when we looked at who they drafted, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with Anthony Black at all, but we're looking at, you could make the argument where there's Anthony Black, Markelle Fultz, Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs are all drafted as point guards. So if we've gone for best players available and young talent and stockpiling it, are we thinking, one, number of swings, two, at some point, a player's going to come available who's going to be enticing to us? Now, that hasn't happened yet, but when it does, you can throw a bunch of second-rounders in there because we don't really use them anyway. You can throw in first-round picks that might not be our own, and if we've become decent at that point, they become potentially more valuable than they would have been. And then if we don't use them, we've got more shots at young players, which would also be seen as potential in a deal. When you look at, for example, the Donovan Mitchell trade that went for Utah Jazz, it was basically Lauri Markkanen was the centerpiece and then youth and picks around it. So I think that's what they've done.
Yeah, it feels like we've actually used our second round picks for a change here.
Yeah.
It feels like we've done something with them.
Yeah, we don't use them, so it's kind of like, well, whatever ones we've got, we can possibly throw in there, and then we're giving ourselves just more and more swings.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, G, I'm going to come to you for this one, because I think this is quite a nod towards Coach Mosley. He's been selected to coach the USA Select team. The upcoming stars will be joining the USA FIBA World Cup team in training camp and scrimmages. It's looking like players that are going to be involved are Cade Cunningham, Jalen Green, Chet Holmgren, Keegan Murray, Jalen Williams. So what do you think of the opportunity for Coach Mosley here?
Yeah, just as you said, Paul, it's a credit to the job that Coach Mosley's been doing, that, you know, he's been invited to coach these players, and you know they're going to be scrimmaging against the Team USA squad in Las Vegas, and in it's just in preparation for the FIBA competition.
There'll be a lot of bookings for handball. if these guys are playing, there'll be a lot of they won't be 11 on the court at the end.
No, that's right. But you know, getting to coach, you know, this level of talent, and even just getting to know them as well, you know, and that might play into our favour in a couple of years' time. You know, we've obviously got a lot of cap flexibility, and hopefully a disgruntled star may become available. And you know, just working with Coach Mosley in this environment this summer, just getting to know him, etc. And also, Coach Mosley might be able to pick up a few things from coaching these guys and going up against Banchero and the rest of the main US squad. So, a lot to learn for him, but a great opportunity.
Yeah, I agree. I do agree with you. And we have seen the return of free agent forward Admiral Schofield. He's agreed to return to the Magic on a two-way deal. I know that we all felt he would be back when we saw him in Vegas supporting the team at Summer League. But are you happy with this use of our second two-way spot, Mikey?
Yeah, absolutely. We sort of touched on this last week, didn't we? We were talking about those last couple of spots. And I think we're almost looking at these two-way contracts at the moment like they're an extension of the main roster. You want players that you know that are going to come in and fill in. We obviously know the Osceola Magic are going to play the same sort of system Orlando play, so you know whoever you bring up, they're going to be familiar with the way we already play. I mean, we all love Admiral. Hard-nosed, physical, plays his heart out when he gets the opportunity to play. Unfortunately, the roster's just too stacked to keep Admiral and Kevon Harris around on permanent contracts, even though they're probably deserving of them. I'm more than happy with that. And it's going to be interesting to see how they fill out that last spot, whether they go with a similar player who you know is going to contribute, or whether they go for development. We'll find out soon, I'm sure. But yeah,
absolutely.
For me, no, I'm happy, mate.
Yeah, I agree. I think I'm delighted for him. I'm pleased to see him back. He just brings a determination in everything he does. I like the guy. And to round up, Orlando closed out Summer League 0-5 after going down 94-77 to the Boston Celtics. Anyway, who cares? Let's move on. I think it's time that we got our guest on and bring Mr. Turner on. Okay, Magic fans, we are now joined by the one and only, our friend Jeff Turner. Jeff, how are you doing?
I am doing very well, just trying to survive the heat in Central Florida. It is just sweltering. It's just awful. A lot of time spent inside. There's no doubt about that.
So, obviously, we know that you've been sort of having a little bit of recovery time. How's the summer been going for you?
Pretty good. I had a much, much needed, and even more so than I thought, knee replacement operation at the end of May. And, you know, my years of playing basketball and four knee surgeries and just wasn't a lot in there. And so finally got it done. I probably needed to do it 10 years ago, but finally got it done. It's been about 8 weeks. And so I'm feeling really good. You know, it's funny, when you put something off and you know, I'm just one of those people that I just got used to, you just deal with uncomfort, the pain or whatever you want to call it. But you don't realize how much pain and how much discomfort you had until you get something fixed. And so I'm loving life now. It's, you know, still got a little bit of ways to go. But I've got pretty much full mobility now and, just trying to get my strength back. So, you know, it's probably good. It's keeping me, you know, out of the heat. The doctor said, you know, you can start playing golf now, but, you know, just watch yourself out in this heat and everything. So anyway, I'm doing well. I appreciate you asking.
That's good. That's good, man. Are you hoping to emulate Steph Curry then with his hole in one?
Well, you know, I'm one of those guys that, you know, those guys like Steph Curry, like they believe in really low scores. Like when I go pay, I pay for golf. I want to get my money's worth. So I take a lot of strokes. I'm one of those guys. So I enjoy it, but I do get my money's worth.
Good man. I cannot fault you. Well, it's been a long while since we've actually spoken because I was certainly for you and I, apart from exchanging text messages and like that's it was November when Gary, Mikey and myself were over. January.
Yeah, January. I got to have a quick chat with Jeff and David. So that was much appreciated.
So we've got a lot of catching up to do. We've got a lot to talk about.
All right.
So I'm going to throw it over to Gary for the first question, man.
So obviously everybody knows we took Anthony Black with the sixth pick, and we've had a small preview, I guess you could say, with the Summer League, Jeff. But what do you think it was from what you've seen that made the front office say Anthony Black was our guy at six?
Well, it's interesting. You know, I think a lot of people, if you're reading the, you know, the draft guides leading up to the draft, you know, there was a lot of speculation of where, you know, we might go there. But late, I thought you started seeing people mentioning Anthony Black a little bit. It really doesn't surprise me that Jeff Weltman and John Hammond went that direction. They love, as you guys know, long defensive guys. That have the ability to play multiple positions. And I think we saw that in Summer League a little bit. Certainly, if you watch Anthony in college, you got a feel for his ability to kind of play the point guard position. I think they're looking at him as, you know, multi-positional player, maybe one through three. That seems to be the way all NBA teams are going now. You're not really looking for, say, a true point guard, a true shooting guard. You got to be able to play a lot of different positions. I thought Gary, the Summer League was a great experience for him. Certainly that first game against the Pistons, they were able to line up and play NBA, you know, guys. Really, Detroit had like eight rotation players on their Summer League team. I thought he did a good job on Jaden Ivey, gave him some problems. So I was pretty, you know, pretty pleased with what we saw. It didn't surprise me. As you guys probably know, as Magic fans know, there aren't a lot of teams that, in my opinion, that put in the work throughout the year, pre-draft, in scouting and seeing all of these guys and what they bring. So the success that Anthony had in Summer League really kind of justified, you know, the pick, I think. But we all knew that it's probably going to be a good one. Based on their track record. You know, I thought it was interesting. We had a chance to talk with Anthony a little bit right after the draft. And, you know, it makes you appreciate how young these guys are. Like, you know, so you ask him, like, who did you look up to? Who do you model your game after, you know? And so he's throwing out guys like Cade Cunningham and Josh Giddey. You know what I mean? Guys that have been in the league 2 years, you know, and these are, but if you think about it, you know, like Anthony is like probably, you know, freshman in high school or whatever. And these are the hot guys. These are who he's looking up to. It hadn't been that long ago, just 1 year at university. So, you know, long-winded answer, but I'm kind of intrigued to see where we go. You know, it feels to me right now on paper, our backcourt's kind of crowded. So we're going to have great competition, I think, in training camp and early in the season for minutes. I think that's exactly the way Jamal Mosley wants it, too. The more competition you can create, it really puts the pressure on the guys to step up, to use Jamal's phrase, to level up a little bit to where they'll need to be. For us to win this year.
JT, two of Anthony Black's strengths is his passing and his defense, but I don't think there's any secret that his weakness is his shooting. And we've obviously seen in flashes and bursts in Summer League, especially in the first game, that he can score from all three levels. But what sort of parts of his shooting mechanics do you think he needs to improve Is it his?
I think a lot of I think it's all of that. I think, you know, I think what you find with young players today, Mikey, that come into the league, it's I think it's a little different when you watch the way that, you know, the young American kids, you know, coming through the AAU system. If you're, you know, like a kid like Anthony Black, who's big and fast and long, he can get away with a lot more. Maybe if his footwork's not quite as good or something, he can still find ways to score and do those things. You know, I love the, you know, when you talk to guys that have been in Europe or European players, there's, I think, a little bit more still of that fundamental development. You know, it starts at your base with your footwork, the ability to, you know, do multiple things. And I think that's the thing when you take young guys, 18, 19, 20 years old, that's why the development part of the NBA is such a big part. You know, Anthony's going to have to spend some time with the coaches, a lot of time, you know, getting the footwork. And they do a lot of that. You know, it's that repetition over and over and over, getting your base. But it doesn't come automatically. I think that's why, you know, when you look at guys in the draft, the shooters, you know, I know we'll probably talk about Jet Howard, but, you know, you look at Jet, he's come, you know, up from, you know, father was a coach, good thing. He's got tremendous footwork, and that he's already got a base as a shooter. And I think that's, you know, if you can get that early, I think that kind of gives guys an advantage because, as you know, it's great to have all those other skills, but in our league, it comes down, you got to make shots, right? You have to, the teams that win or get to the finals, whatever, you've got to be able to put the ball in the basket. And so that's a part of his game that he'll have to improve on. But it's a little bit of everything. I wouldn't say it's one thing. It's not broken. That's the thing, you are. You look at a guy and, you know, there was a kid, I don't know if you guys remember, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, many years ago, came out of Kentucky, you know, similar, you know, 6'7", 6'8", could do a lot of things. His shot was broken. You know what I mean? He just couldn't. There were no mechanics, no fundamentals. And, you know, that really hurt him, I thought, in the end. That's not the case with Anthony. It's just refining and getting that repetition so that it's not something that you have to think about. It's just automatic.
Yeah, he didn't have a good-looking jump shot, that's for sure. and I think with Anthony Black, I think we all need to be a bit patient when it comes to the offensive side of shooting the ball. Obviously, the Magic took a swing with taking Jet Howard at 11th overall, ahead of several other shooters like Grady Dick and Jordan Hawkins as another. We saw a few flashes in Summer League about Jet showing us what he can do, being a three-level scorer. Most importantly, being able to shoot the three. But it's not just his shooting ability. What else do you think the Magic liked about Jet Howard?
I think the thing that moved him up, Mikey, was, you know, they had a comfort level that he was not just a shooter, right? That he was a kid that could put the ball on the ground, play from the mid-range, get to the rim. I think that's a big part of it. He's a high character guy, obviously. You know that, you know, if you haven't noticed yet, it seems like the Magic brass have an affinity for University of Michigan grads. We've got plenty of them. And, you know, I think that was a big part of it. Obviously, the pedigree, you know, his father coaching him and understanding the NBA game. I think those things really kind of moved him forward. But I think that's the big thing is he's just, in their mind, what they saw in scouting was maybe he was a step ahead of the two guys you mentioned, Grady Dick and Jordan Hawkins, in his ability to play more than just be a spot-up shooter.
Jeff, we talked about those rookies just there now. Obviously, they're going to have a big transition coming from the college to the NBA. Tell us about, you know, you've obviously done it yourself, the sort of the key changes that they'll come up in against now in the next couple of weeks as they join the ball club.
Yeah, I think the big thing, and I think even both of them mentioned it in different interviews, you know, in summer league is, and until you make the move, understanding the speed of the game, how quickly things happen in an NBA game as opposed to a college game is different. I think the demands on your time, you know, it's a little bit different probably from the dark ages when I was in college and made the jump. You know, these guys are one and done guys. So they're really just probably going about a half a semester of class. And then, you know, basically once the season's over, you know, they're out of school and they're training, getting ready for the draft. So they get a little bit of taste about the demand on their time and the expectation. But it's not quite what it is once you're under contract and employed, and how quickly things will start happening, how quickly the games will come, the practices, all the expectations about injury prevention, the extra things you have to do off the court. As a player, I would assume they would embrace that and love that, because it's just, you know, once you get to the NBA, it's just about basketball. That's your life. And so I think that's pretty cool. But I think the biggest thing is, you know, I may have said this to you guys before, the big difference is when you're in college, all of these guys, you know, they're the best on their team, right? If not the best, one of the best players on their respective team. Now you're on a team where everybody was the best from where they came from, you know, whether it was on their club team, their college team. And so, you know, the competition level for everything is ramped up a little bit. And so that, you know, that's an adjustment, I think, mentally that young guys have to get used to.
Yeah. Just switch things up a bit. Obviously, we've had the announcement of the in-season tournament. So just wanted to get your opinion on that. Obviously, the format and the dates, etc., have been announced, you know, games on a Tuesday and a Friday, along with the Magic's divisional group. So just wanted to know what your thoughts on the concept were. And do you think players will be motivated, you know, to win this?
You know, it's going to be interesting. I really don't know, what it's going to look like. You know, we've got the format and everything. I thought my original thought when they started talking about it was, you know, I think we've got six divisions in the NBA. I thought it would be, you know, the Southeast division would, you know, be one pool. I thought it was kind of interesting the way they laid it out, and a little bit more random. It makes a little bit more sense, I guess. I don't think from a fan standpoint necessarily, and again, I don't know. I guess it will, you know, there will probably be an in-season tournament jersey or something, so we'll know the difference for the fans in the game eventually. That would make sense, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, so that it would differentiate a little bit. I do know this, if there is an extra chance to make additional monies, then players are motivated. I know I would be, right? So it'll be, I think the big thing is, will the stars, you know, will this get them on the court a little bit more? If it's a play-in tournament game, will there be less likely to have the planned rest or anything? You know, there's all kinds of questions. I'll be honest, and you guys probably know this about me, I was very skeptical about the play-in tournament, right? Like I was like, don't mess up a good thing. You know, I'm a little bit more of a traditionalist and everything, but that has been outstanding. And so kudos to the commissioner and the, you know, the basketball committee, the group of owners and coaches and players that have the, you know, the foresight to think about these things and put it together. I mean, certainly it has worked well for, you know, soccer for so many years, it seems like. And so I'm anxious to see what happens. I don't know how it's all going to play out other than, you know, what we've read. But it should, maybe it provides another exciting element. You know, it's like when you, it just, again, the traditionalist in me is like, there's only one trophy, right? Like there's the Larry O'Brien trophy we all won at the end. So, but here we've got this one in the middle of the season to try to gin up a little bit more interest. So I guess I'm in a wait and see kind of, G, is where I am right now on this one.
Jeff, football cups and tournaments don't really go well for Cardiff, Leeds and Sunderland. So,
okay.
This is why
Liverpool fans are universally unpopular. Oh, look at us with all our trophies. We've had to buy another cabinet. Ours have got cobwebs on.
We haven't even got a cabinet.
Don't worry, G. You know you're guaranteed 6 points this season. You're playing Leeds again, so mate, you're all good. You're all good. Yeah. Jeff, I'm kind of, I'm not going to say I'm the other way, but I'm kind of quite excited for this in-season tournament because it seems to be an opportunity for the Magic to be all in on something and get the young guys' experience of playing pressure basketball that could stand them in good stead. Any thoughts on that?
I to be honest with you, I haven't really thought about it from that angle. I guess, anytime you're in a playoff type atmosphere and everything, it is good for young guys to experience that a little bit, help them grow a little bit more. The pool play, the importance of each game and things like that. I guess you're right. I hadn't really thought about it from that angle. I'm hoping, that does help in the maturation of our young players, feeling a little bit of pressure game to game in that in those scenarios.
Yeah, it was just somewhere where I was coming from. Now, what I do want to ask you about is former Olympian at a young age, Mr. Turner. And we are about to see Paolo and France representing their countries at the FIBA World Cup of Basketball. What benefit of playing international tournaments at this high level will they gain?
Again, it kind of going back to the point you just made about the in-season tournament, anytime you're playing competitive basketball, competitive anything, I guess, and you're playing at the highest level, I think that's good for, as a competitor to really sharpen your instincts a little bit. So I think from that standpoint, it's good, and I think as well, particularly for young players, for Paolo and Franz, Mo Wagner is going to play as well. Absolutely. I think Goga is playing for his team, Georgia as well. So, those guys, the chance to play at that level against the best in the world on that stage with the expectations, we always know that the U.S. team, the expectations are very high, but I think the German team, the expectations are very high for them as well. So, that's one of those environments that I think really helped them. It is so interesting now, the difference in watching, the international, FIBA basketball, it is such a different game to me than the NBA with the rules, with the physicality of the game and everything. So from that standpoint, I think is always good too. Playing it a little bit different than you do regularly during the season and NBA season. I think those are all beneficial for those guys. So I'm looking forward to it. It should be a great competition.
Jeff, we're looking at it from the players' angle of what it can do for the players. But Jamal Mosley's coaching the U.S. select team. What do you think this can do for, firstly, Jamal Mosley and potentially the Magic as a franchise overall?
Well, I think, that's a great question, Gary. The thing about Jamal is, and you guys know, relationship-wise and feel for the players and everything, he's at the top of his game, but he's still a young coach, right? So anytime he's in an environment where, he gets to ply his trade a little bit, when you put together, teams for a short time, there's not, they're doing a better job with USA Basketball as far as having a developmental system with the under, you know, the U17, U18 teams, and trying to have a little continuity, but they don't spend a lot of time together. So for Jamal, the chance to be around a bunch of guys for a short period of time, try to put together, you know, a unit that's competitive. I think those are great challenges for him, and helps him grow as a coach.
Got a question there, Jeff, about Coach Mosley, if he coaches his select team. In terms of, you know, you're bringing a lot of players in together, does Mosley almost run with sets that he's familiar with in terms of the playbook, or does Team USA have its own kind of manual?
I would say that from that standpoint, I think it will be set. I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine that Steve Kerr, you know, on down has, okay, well, this is what we want to do. And for me, I think that's great, because again, we need to develop, you know, as a part of the U.S. Basketball movement, we need to develop a culture, right? A sense of, you know, this is what we do, so that you can plug and play, because the demands on these guys, the seasons are so long, you know, to be able to plug into a system on short notice. I think a lot of the European countries have been able to do that, right? You know, that, you know, those, that Spanish team that was so good with the Gasol brothers and Fernandez and all those, you know, Ricky Rubio and those guys, even though they may not play together all year, they were familiar with one another. They were familiar with the system and everything, and were able to plug into it. So I would think from a select standpoint, you know, if you're doing that, I think for me, you know, having been a coach, I would want everybody lower, kind of, you know, every coach is going to put in his own out of bounds plays and things like that. I mean, that's his, the independence you allow that. From a system standpoint, how you run things, I would think you would want it to be pretty consistent.
It feels like it's a bit of a nod to the job that Coach Mosley has done and the Magic rebuild that he's been asked to do this. So if I could just ask you a question about this Magic rebuild.
Okay.
And it's coming back to what you said earlier on about the backcourt being a little bit crowded. How do you see the rotations working?
Oh, you're going to put me on the spot, huh?
Oh, yeah. Hey, my view is if we get an expert on, we're asking difficult questions.
That's a good one.
This
that's
is the stuff one. You get paid for, my man.
Okay. So in this rebuild, you know, there is if we're going today on paper, right, and we look at how the season ended last year, right, and you say, okay, well, it ended pretty well. Here was the constant, right? We, you know, we had Franz and Paolo, Wendell in the front court, Gary Harris and Markel Fultz in the back court, right? So if you look at it like that and say, okay, well, if you're going to pencil in a day one starting lineup, well, that's what most people would do, right? There's a hierarchy of, you know, play. That's what it would look like. That's not to say that's what it's going to be. There are injuries and guys do different things. So then if you look at it that way and you look at the fact that, you know, you got Cole Anthony, Jalen Suggs, you know, and again, if you're going to win in our league, it's really, really hard to play more than 10 guys, right, at a time. And with, you know, rosters growing and things like that, as things get down towards the end, you usually see 9, 8, sometimes even 7 guys in a regular rotation. As you get into the playoffs, you want your best players on the floor. So if we're thinking 10 guys, the reason I say it's crowded, okay, so now you've got Cole, think about Cole and Jalen, right? Who are very good players. And now you're adding to that, you know, Anthony Black and, you know, Jet Howard, other guard there. You went, where are the minutes, right? And then you start thinking, okay, well, from a depth standpoint, let's not forget that, you know, we're expecting Jonathan Isaac back from a depth standpoint. You know, where does he fit in going forward? Joe Ingles, there's another guy. Like, Joe Ingles is a guy who, as he points out, is, you know, he's got like 15 years or something like that on the next Magic player, 10 years anyway, right? He's 35, 36. But he's a guy that's had great success in the league with the ball in his hands, running pick and roll and things like that. So there's great depth there. You know, you can, you know, people will say, well, Joe's a forward. Well, you know, I don't know. Joe's played a lot of guard in our league as well. So there are challenges with the backcourt. Again, I know because I've talked to them, you know, Jeff Weltman will tell you there's nothing wrong with having depth, right, at every position. You never know what's going to happen. He's absolutely right. It creates competition. As long as it creates healthy competition without creating conflict in your locker room, everything's good. But with competitive guys who want to be on the floor, that takes a lot of work from them, from the players themselves, from the coaches to manage that. And ultimately, it falls on Jeff. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But what you see is this Magic team, and you're talking about the way it's been built, right? The rebuild. This is a team that is long, right? They are, you know, every position, pretty much you've got great defensive play. You know, and I know Jamal wants to capitalize on that defense, get out and run. I think we've got runners and finishers. So from a rebuild standpoint, everybody that's been added, I think fits that mold. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. You always want to go in with a lot of bodies into camp of guys that can play. I think the unique thing about this roster is everybody seems to be playmakers for the most part. They have the ability to engage defenses on their own and create for one another, which I think is pretty significant.
While we're asking tough questions, I want to know what City jersey we're getting this year. Who's winning MVP? No, just joking.
I think one of the things that we've been having these conversations on the pod each week as to where do you see the starting lineup? Who do you see as being the finishers? And it's a really difficult conversation. I'm personally starting the five that finished last season at this moment.
Yeah. And I think that's what, you know, if you had to press Jamal, I think that he would say the same thing, right? Because they had success. And that's just kind of the way teams work, right? You just, you know, there is a pecking order. This is the way we finished. It worked. And, you know, coaches don't like to change when things are going well. So I think that's pretty safe.
Yeah.
Didn't mean to interrupt you, Paul.
No, it's all good. I mean, one of the things that we've been talking about is Cole going to be happy to accept that six-man role? And personally, we've been having the discussion of I see him being happy on a winning team, accepting that role as six-man, and being potentially on the court as a finisher. I don't know if that's something that you've thought about.
Well, I think that's kind of the way it played out last year, right? Like towards the end, he was a finisher for the most part, you know, particularly at the beginning of the fourth quarter. You know, that's one of those things, you know, it's as a young player, talented as Cole is, you know, he's still in his mind. He's young enough. He's thinking, you know, about being a starter, about being an all-star. I mean, he says these things, right? There's great value in having a guy like Cole coming off your bench. I mean, I think we saw that last year. You know, he's a bucket getter, right? Like, you know, the offense is struggling. We can't make a shot. We can't get anything going. You know, they've stifled, you know, anything we're doing. You can put the ball in Cole's hand, and whether he has a screen or not, he can get you a shot. And again, that's really, really valuable. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. I don't, you know, and I don't blame him. Like, he's a young guy. He's very talented. You know, he wants to play. He wants to be on the court all the time from the very beginning. That's a good thing to me. That's a competitor, right? And that's what kind of guys you want on your team. Accepting roles, you know, I think for young players, that's challenging as you get a little bit older and you kind of know what your strengths or weaknesses are, and you can kind of look out there and say, you know what, this is a good spot for me. I can fill, you know, this is a role I can fill on this team and have a long career. I think that maybe comes with a little bit more age and maturity. But I'll be honest with you guys, I'll take a Cole Anthony mindset anytime, a guy that wants to be on the floor all the time and just wants to cut people's hearts out. You know, he just wants to win. And so whatever that looks like for him, I'm all behind it.
I think that maturity side of things is something we've actually seen in the finals this time around with Aaron Gordon. He's accepted a different role
Absolutely.
To what he was doing with the Magic, and as a result, he got a lot of love from people for his performances. And I hope that's something that Cole can look at and see of the value of.
It's a great example. Yeah, absolutely. A guy we know very well.
Yeah, yeah. Now, slight curveball here, because I've only just seen this about 10 minutes before we came on. Has anybody else seen this Bleacher Report post of the top five dominant players in the NBA?
Oh, no, not the Bleacher Report again.
Number one, Nikola Jokic. Number two, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Number three, Jason Tatum. Number four, Luka Doncic. Number five, Victor Wembanyama.
Wow. Where's the MVP?
Most dominant players?
Yep. Wow. Not even played a minute in the league. And they are putting him as the fifth most dominant player in the league.
And thus, G said, oh, no, not Bleacher Report again.
Basically, yeah.
Embiid doesn't even feature in the honorable mention.
I was going to say, I'll take Joel in my five. I like the others. Those were pretty strong. Yeah. Pretty strong. Boy, how about that? That kid, super talented, right? I mean, but... You know, he's in a small market, which is great for him in San Antonio, but all eyes, we were laughing. You know, it'll be interesting to see. David and I were laughing about this. It's like, how many national TV games do you think the Spurs, what's the over-under on that, right? Like, is it 20 games? He's going to be, what are the expectations? You know, the league has gone all in. So, you know, it's got to be, you know, 15 plus, right? And they haven't had any in they're maybe like us in 10 years. So it's a lot of pressure. You talk about a young guy with a lot of expectations on him, but wow. Dominant, I'm not sure about. I didn't see domination in Summer League. And so, those are not real NBA players, but they don't represent what he's going to see night in and night out.
No, absolutely. I will tell you the honorable mentions, because as I say, Embiid isn't even on there. The five that they had behind were Devin Booker, Steph Curry, Anthony Edwards, SGA, and Zion Williamson.
Zion, okay.
I mean, I've got to be honest, I wouldn't put Zion in that list either.
Well, yeah, it's incomplete, right? It's incomplete. We're not really sure. I wouldn't put again. How does Joel Embiid, you know, not in that list?
No. Mm. Yeah,
Zion might be on a donut eating competition, but not.
Oh man, Jeff. Listen, we're not going to take up any more of your valuable time. We thank you so much for doing this for us. We really love having you along. Guys, before we wrap up, is there anything else that you just want to fire at Jeff before he goes? All good?
All good.
All good.
Excellent. Okay. Jeff, thank you so much for doing this. We have missed speaking with you. And it's so good to see you back on the road to recovery.
get back. Let's do it again in training camp, right? When we've got a little bit more information, I'll just reach out to me, and you know, it's out of the summer, and you know, well, everybody will be interested, and you know, you want me, you don't want Dante or David, you know. Come on. So.
Hey, you start with the A team.
Yeah.
But yeah, thank you so much, Jeff. We do appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Excellent stuff. I really, really love spending time with Jeff Turner. The guy is just such good company, and he always brings such good insights to it. So, the point of the week that most of you probably hit fast forward, the plugs. So, please, if you're looking to do some shopping over the weekend for some sports merchandise, support us by using our affiliate links to visit Fanatics UK or the official NBA store Europe. The links are on the website, they're on our socials, and they're going to be in the description on this podcast. Shop officially licensed sports jersey, merchandise and fan apparel, including the NBA, the NFL, MLB, football, rugby, and Formula One. And international delivery is available. Use our discount code MAGICUK10 at the checkout for 10% off the entire order. There may be better discounts out there, as we say. We're not saying this is the best one, but it is one that you can use. So please note, some exclusions may apply on it also. And alternatively, and finally, feel free to head over to our own T-shirt store. It's there is a link off the website. Alternatively, search Magic Fan Fans Apparel .tmil.com. I'll say that again because I made a right mess up of that. I was going to call it something else. So it's magicfansapparel.tmil.com, and you've got our own bespoke Orlando Magic UK merchandise on there. Helps supports the show, and again, international shipping is available for our friends overseas. So to finish off, thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Please hit subscribe to the YouTube channel, Orlando Magic UK. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Orlando Magic UK. And so until next week, from Mikey, Gary, Garant, and myself, go Magic.